Welcome to the CEO.Digital Show. My name's Craig McCartney.
And I'm Darcy Thompson-Fields.
And this is an open exploration of technologies and trends straight from the C-suite.
You'll hear insights that will help you better deliver results for your company and its stakeholders now and in the future. You can find out more and stay up to date at CEO.Digital. Welcome to the CEO.Digital Show. This episode is part of our exclusive mini-series on sustainability, where we've teamed up with Citrix to find out more about where the private sector should turn its attention to when accelerating sustainability initiatives. We've spoken to a range of thought leaders working within companies like Ericsson, Boston Consulting Group, and today Capgemini, to shine a light on this topic. Across production, supply chains, IT, working practices, and culture, this is where climate action begins. Now, you may have heard a snippet of this interview with Dr. James Roby across our sustainability panel podcast. If you haven't, do check that out. But today, you're going to be lucky enough to hear the full interview with James, including all of his insights on where businesses should drive their sustainability agenda. Dr. James Roby is the Global Head of Sustainability for Capgemini, and he has led the Capgemini Group sustainability agenda since setting first carbon reduction targets in 2008. James also lectures on sustainability at a number of universities and is a member of both the Environment Leadership Group at Business in the Community and the Senior Advisor Network to the Alliance of CEO Climate Leaders at the World Economic Forum. Stay tuned to hear James's insights on how Capgemini are themselves and helping their clients drive towards sustainability targets. Dr. James Roby, welcome to the CEO.Digital Show.
Thank you.
It's a pleasure to have you here. Obviously, we're bringing you here today to talk about a focus in sustainability. James, as Global Head of Sustainability at Capgemini, you've obviously been leading up some amazing sustainability initiatives across the group. You also, you know, have been working on sustainability from an academic perspective and sitting on board. So could you tell us about your role in sustainability, kind of what led you to work on these projects and, yeah, what you're currently working on?
Sure. So I suppose my journey in terms of sustainability probably started 15, 16 years ago when I started looking at some of the mega trends which are going on globally, whether it's around population or resource consumption or climate change. And I came to the conclusion fairly quickly that sustainability is going to completely revolutionize and change the whole business environment over the next few decades. So from that perspective, started to have some conversations internally in terms of how we could respond as a business. And as a result of that, I've been driving a program for the last 15 years or so. First of all, for Capgemini UK and then for Capgemini globally.
Fantastic. And what led you from a career history perspective? Was sustainability always a focus for you as you were starting your career?
So way back at the beginning, my original background was in economics and maths. It's probably some of the economic implications of some of the sustainability constraints and some of the sustainability trends which really got my interest and got me thinking about how business needs to reinvent itself, or how it's going to have to reinvent itself going forward if we're going to find a way of living in a sustainable manner, if we're going to find a way of avoiding the worst of climate change and adapting to what we can't avoid. From that perspective, we've very much been thinking about sustainability at Capgemini through a couple of lenses. The first lens is from an operational perspective, how can Capgemini reduce its own impacts? How can we play our part as a responsible business, whether that's through, you know, the impacts we have through the energy we consume in offices and data centers, whether that's through business travel, which, of course, is a huge challenge in the professional services industry. So that's, if you like, the operational piece. But then we've been thinking beyond that in terms of, well, actually, how can we make a difference with our clients? Recognizing that many of our clients have environmental impacts which are many, many times larger than Capgemini's. So some of our automotive clients, for example, might have carbon footprints which are 200 or even 300 times that of Capgemini. So from that perspective, we've started to think about how do we embed sustainability into the work we deliver with clients. And a couple of years ago, we were first in sector to actually set a target to actually help our clients reduce their carbon footprints.
Fantastic. Are there any particular kind of case studies or clients you can touch on in terms of, yeah, how you identified the particular environmental targets that they should be working towards, and then how you've actually helped them approach those?
So there's a whole range of work we've been doing with clients. I mean, with some clients, we've been helping them, you know, actually working as at the strategic level, helping them set their carbon strategies, their carbon reduction strategies. At the broader level, if you get behind sustainability and what it actually is, it's a business transformation challenge. Effectively, it's, you know, how do you reorganize your business within sustainable limits? And then you start to look at the heart of what Capgemini has been doing for its 5 decades, which is all about helping businesses become more efficient, helping them transform, usually using IT as the vehicle for that transformation. But sometimes it's been more around pure business consultancy and strategy. So once you apply that lens, you suddenly realize that, you know, many of the standard everyday type capabilities that a consulting house may apply to a client can be applied from a consulting lens. So, for example, a client might come to us and say, how can you help us optimize our logistics? How can we restructure the way we're doing logistics and delivery? Yeah, maybe traditionally the aim would have been, you know, how can we save 2 million or 3 million litres of diesel from our trucks? Well, of course, in doing that, you're absolutely driving profitability and efficiency through optimizing the trucks, but you're also helping that organization save carbon. Whether it's through the diesel burnt or through whether it's less wear and tear on the trucks and therefore less embedded carbon. So again, you are changing the sort of the lens or the way you look at things. You suddenly realize that an awful lot of the IT and change services that we can provide to the marketplace can deliver an environmental sustainability benefit for our clients.
Fantastic. And not every organisation is lucky enough to be set up with a head of sustainability, although I think it's something that everyone is aware of individually and that companies are aware of. That should be a driving focus for them. Not all organisations have that position set up yet. So where do you think sort of ownership for sustainability should sit kind of within leadership and the C-suite, and then also how that filters down? Are there any particular roles or functions that you think are primarily responsible for driving it?
That's a great question. And I think if you look across a lot of businesses, what you find is exactly what you've said. There is no single answer in terms of where does sustainability sit. I think ultimately, sustainability has to be driven by the top. So the CEO has to take a personal responsibility in setting and pushing the agenda. If it's not led for the top, then you're not going to get very far. In terms of from a more practical perspective, you know, where do you need sponsorship? And I say sponsorship rather than ownership. It's about having the right people in your governance team to make the decisions. So we have a net zero board, which provides us with that governance. It includes our CEO, but it also includes our CFO, our head of real estate globally, and a number of other senior board members. And the reason for including the CFO is often in sustainability, you have to make decisions which cut across different functions within your business. So, for example, you might make a decision to invest in more efficient IT. The cost of that would then sit in the IT function, but the benefit potentially then sits in the real estate function because you're using less energy. So effectively, by bringing the CFO in, you can take that cross-business view in terms of the payback periods associated with investments that you might make.
Totally. I think, yeah, it definitely echoes what we're seeing. There needs to be this cross ownership and this cross responsibility that definitely needs to be driven from the top down. Thinking about those leaders and those boards, what should be their key sustainability focus right now? Are there any kind of key projects or targets? Obviously, sustainability is a massive undertaking. There's a lot to consider, but are there any particular focus areas that you'd recommend?
The starting point has to be about understanding your impacts, putting in place the measurement systems in order to understand your impacts so that you can then think about how you would reduce them. I think it's also important that organizations who are wanting to really lead in this space are considering the underlying product or the underlying service that they're trying to deliver, if you like, their business purpose. And then start asking the question, the way that they're delivering it, are they delivering it in the most efficient way possible? I had a conversation a few years ago with a chief executive from a major airline who was at that time considering whether the airline should be investing in a video conferencing solution. And when pushed as to why they were going through that thought process, they were explaining that the underlying business model was about connecting business people. for decades, that underlying parameter had been by putting business people in thin aluminium tubes and flying them around the world. And so 10 years ago, this business person was thinking about, well, what if I can't put business people in thin aluminium tubes and fly them around the world? How can I continue to connect them? Of course, that's a piece of thought which has become very relevant in the world of COVID, where, of course, business travel globally is down by 95% or more. And essentially, business people still need to connect. They still need to work together. And so effectively, the tech sector has absolutely stepped into that space. And we've seen a huge acceleration of the use of online video conferencing, online collaboration over the last 12 months or so, really enforced by circumstances around us rather than organic growth. One of the biggest learnings that we've really had over the last 18 months or so from a COVID perspective has been just how feasible remote working is and how feasible remote collaboration is. Almost enforced by COVID, you know, within our business, 270,000 people had to literally over a weekend start working from home. And what it's really challenged in the professional services industry is an expectation from within the industry and from within its clients that, you know, delivery always has to be done in person. And I think where we are going is we're just trying to negotiate what that new post-COVID delivery models really need to look like, how we're leveraging the enhanced technology. We've been working with many of our clients, and I know Citrix have as well, in terms of enabling people to work remotely, to enabling people to have access to secure systems from anywhere in the world without compromising the underlying security. Really, the next few months, as we start to hopefully see the lockdowns coming to an end, it's really about how do we negotiate that right balance between when it's appropriate to be face-to-face, when it's appropriate to travel, because clearly there is inherent value from those face-to-face meetings, which you don't get through a screen. But actually, a lot of the time, you can get the value through the screen, through the virtual collaboration technologies. So I think there's just something there that we are still in the foothills as an industry as to figuring out what the right solution is. But the right solution clearly isn't the way we were operating previously. And equally, the right solution isn't everybody never leaves home again. So we just need to get that right balance in line with the needs of reducing our carbon footprint, in line with the Paris Agreement.
Absolutely. I mean, yeah, I think it's so clear that digital workspaces have helped to kind of drive forward certain sustainability elements. But I know there's also sometimes concerns and headlines about the impact of the amount of energy that we use, the amount of kind of bandwidth and internet that we use. Has fundamentally, do digital workspaces help drive sustainability practices forward? And are there any blind spots here that we need to be addressing?
Okay, so continuing that thought then in terms of from an organizational perspective where you need to focus on sustainability. So having thought through your underlying purpose, what it is you're trying to deliver, and then put in place the right measurement perspectives in terms of whether it's energy or travel or carbon associated with the inputs of production, that then gives you a real platform to start figuring out what you need to do in terms of reducing your impacts. Next step in my mind would be around setting targets. I would always go to the science-based targets. I'd always say, you know, you need to get your carbon targets aligned with the needs of the Paris Agreement. So that 1.5 degree pathway. So as an organization, we have science-based targets aligned to the 1.5 degree pathway. I would push businesses to be thinking about making a commitment towards becoming ultimately net zero. So net zero, where you are absolutely, first of all, trying to reduce your carbon impacts, but then secondly, compensating with removal-based carbon offsets for any residual emissions. So that would be sort of the direction for overall for business. So thinking about our sector, if we look back before COVID and the transformation that's brought, typically our organization would have had a carbon footprint which was divided by approximately 2/3 from business travel and 1/3 from the carbon associated with the energy that we're using in the offices and data centers we run. So then from our perspective, the program that we're driving has all been then thinking about how we drive those down. So whether it's in terms of using virtual collaboration tools, in terms of reducing business travel, or whether it's in terms of thinking about how we transition our offices to 100% renewable energy or 100% renewable electricity, that's how we've built that strategy.
And we've talked quite a lot about the organisational focus and impact, but is there anything more that IT can be doing to make itself more sustainable.
So building on that, I think we need to recognise that IT has a significant impact. So if you took the tech sector and you added up all of the energy being consumed by that sector, it would be the third largest consumer. If we were a country, we'd be the third largest consumer of energy. Therefore, we have a huge responsibility in terms of the transition of that energy to renewable sources, and we have a huge responsibility from an impact perspective. But probably more importantly from an IT perspective is the fact that it's been calculated that if you compare the carbon or the energy that IT is using compared to the carbon or the energy that IT can save, there's a tenfold factor. So essentially, there's an enormous opportunity to apply technology to driving organizations more efficiently, whether it's like the example I used before about thinking about applying IT to your logistics or your operations to make them more efficient, or whether it's just through enhanced collaboration tools and driving down carbon from travel. So clearly the sector has a massive responsibility in this space to really deliver on that opportunity and drive the level of change that we need.
Fantastic. Yeah, hopefully we'll see, like you touched on earlier, this huge shift that we've seen with obviously the pandemic, which forced massive change very quickly and has also caused probably a long-lasting cultural shift in many industries, in the way that we work, the way that we travel, and the way that we collaborate. Do you think there's also something to be said of the kind of cultural impact of sustainability as well? Obviously, we're seeing a new generation of workforce, so millennials and Gen Zs, and the focus for them does tend to be cultural capital and care as well. So there's a real focus and a real drive from that new workforce to have things like sustainability targets to show that, you know, the organization that they're going to be working for is going beyond just caring about kind of their own profits and looking at their wider impact. Does that reflect what you've seen at all in kind of the wider world of work and also at Capgemini?
Absolutely. So in terms of the expectations we see, the expectations on organizations have changed quite dramatically over the last decade. Interestingly, I did some research with Henley Business School looking at actually what the motivators were, the drivers were for organizations to invest in sustainability. And in the top three, the number one was actually about employee expectations. So just reflecting what you've just said there in terms of the, you know, if I want to be able to recruit the best people, if I want to be able to retain people, then absolutely we have to have a credible story in terms of sustainability, whether that's the environmental side of sustainability or the social side of sustainability. The other drivers, the other two strong drivers were also expectations in terms of clients or customers, whether you're business to business or business to consumer. And then thirdly, the expectation of the owners of the business or the financiers of the business. So whether it's your shareholders or whether it's your partners or whether it's even the banks that are lending you money, there's a strong requirement often in terms of your sustainability credentials.
Yeah, makes so much sense. I mean, we've obviously been working and collaborating with Citrix on the sustainability project, and they have recently been running a survey compiling the views of over 500 organizations to, again, build that picture of priorities, policies, and potential for more sustainable, particularly with an IT focus. One of the findings, which we found quite surprising, was that almost a third of medium-sized organizations rank sustainability as a high priority, but 9 out of 10 large organizations rank it as a medium or high priority too. Do these findings reflect kind of the situation on the ground at your customers, the organizations you work with, and yeah, what you see more generally?
So from the research I did previously, what we found was that the drivers of sustainability in the largest organizations, so the sample was about 200 of the world's largest organizations, and those drivers, as I was saying before, around employees, around clients, and around investors. We also explored whether there was a driver around just the opportunity for efficiency savings. And we found that driver was on the cusp of significance for large organizations. We think that's because the largest organizations have gone through a maturity curve or a life cycle curve to the point where they recognize that, yes, if we are more sustainable, we will drive more profitability through efficiency. But that's not the primary, that's no longer the primary driver for investing in sustainability. And therefore, the driver or the motivation has now moved to a sort of more nuanced argument around the expectation of stakeholders. So if we move on to sort of smaller or medium-sized organizations, we find that that's not necessarily the case, not because of a lack of desire to be more sustainable, but often it's just through the lack of resources and the, you know, whether they have the resources to invest in the same way. So often when talking to slightly smaller organizations, the business case for sustainability might more often come back to that ability to show a sort of traditional economic return over the shorter time horizon. So I think that would probably align with the survey conducted by Citrix.
Thank you. And jumping around a bit here, but going back to the technology perspective, obviously at CO.Digital, we really have focus on understanding the technological impact, how leadership is approaching that. So when we are looking at the IT perspective, we touched on how IT can be more sustainable and also how IT can help drive some sustainability. But are there any particular IT innovations that you think are really kind of leading the charge and helping organizations to meet their sustainability targets?
So when talking to a CIO, the IT function, I suppose typically we'd think about it through three lenses in terms of how the IT function can help an organization to have a positive impact in terms of sustainability. So the first of those levels would be the IT function itself. So how can you reduce the environmental impact of that function? So it could be as straightforward as using renewable energy on systems. It could be around thinking about how you use technologies like virtualization or cloud, or how do you rationalize your systems so that you're reducing the overall IT footprint of your organization. So that's the first level, effectively the housekeeping of the IT function to say, how can you be more sustainable, reduce your impact? The second level then is how can IT impact the wider organization? So how can you use IT to reduce the overall impact of the broader operations of your organization? So for example, we use the example of optimization in logistics. You might use the example of applying IT to your ERP systems, your manufacturing systems, to think about how you might reduce waste. You might look at automation. So you might say, how can we automate some tasks because it can be then be potentially more efficient? You can reduce the requirement for real estate, or you can reduce the impacts. So that second level is really sort of thinking through how can IT bring more efficiency, more optimization across the organization? And then the third level is almost how can you apply IT for a client to help the client's client? So, for example, how might you work with an energy company to deploy smart meters such that the customers of the energy company can then reduce their consumption of energy? So they're the three layers that we would tend to think about when having a conversation with a CIO, starting with the IT itself and then pushing right through the organization and into their value chain.
Thanks, James. All fantastic insights. Before we wrap up, I just wanted to find out if there are one or two issues that are top of mind, that should be top of mind for organisations today, and anything that we haven't yet covered.
So top of mind issues. I think probably front of mind would be just keeping our eye really on where the science is going around climate change. Even in the last month, we have seen an increasing number of extreme weather events, whether it's nearly 50 degrees centigrade of heat in Canada, whether it's flooding in Germany or China or India. And while you can't bring a single weather event back to climate change, you can bring this increasing pattern of extreme weather events back to climate change. So I think, you know, top of mind has to be the fact that we are starting to see more and more climate-related weather events. And with COP just under 100 days away now, really, I think that focus has to be on, from an organizational perspective, you know, how can business work in partnership with governments and other organizations to really look at how do we drive those carbon emissions down? How can we redefine the way we do business, and not just incrementally? We wrote Capgemini wrote a piece of research about a year and a half ago, just before the previous COP, called the Sustainable Business Revolution. And really that's setting out the fact that what we need is a revolution. We don't need that incremental 2%, 5% improvement year on year. We need to radically redesign the way that we are driving our industries. So really, I suppose that would be my call in terms of really thinking the unthinkable, pushing the boundaries and really saying, how can we get that step change in terms of carbon reduction, in terms of resource efficiency that we absolutely need?
And on that, I think that is a really interesting point that you raised there. You know, it is such a balance between, you know, businesses driving their sustainability agenda, but then also governments and regulatory bodies. So what can organisations do to help push those agendas forward and ensure that, yeah, they are kind of pushing governments and regulatory bodies to, yeah, provide this sustainability revolution that we need?
I think there's many opportunities for engagement. We're involved with the World Economic Forum. Our CEO sits on the CEO Alliance of Climate Leaders. There are lots of organisations like this where there are opportunities. In the UK, we're part of Business in the Community and we work on their environmental leadership team. So there's lots of opportunities to work with NGOs and to work with governments in terms of this dialogue, in terms of what we need. Essentially, business is probably the most powerful tool we have in terms of delivering the change, but businesses need to work within the right framework. And that's where we need to work in partnership with government to set the right frameworks around the expectations in terms of driving down carbon emissions. If you give businesses the right policy frameworks, then they can deliver amazing transformation over quite short periods of time. But they do need the certainty of those policy frameworks to make sure that they're acting in unison across whole industries.
Thanks so much, James, for all of these insights and incredible view into what individuals, organisations and governments can be doing to help drive sustainability. Thank you so much for joining us.
My pleasure.